The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Not the VSiN app. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. I went dark there for a second. You see that? I was in darkness. That's what threw me off. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. Let's get to the good stuff, shall we? College hoops. We were just talking off air with Kai McCann from Three Man Weave and just talking about how, you know, every once in a while there's an NFL week where we're like, that Sunday kind of sucked. Like, the product kind of sucked. Never, ever once in our lives have we ever complained about anything conference or March Madness wise. Kai joins us now from Three Man Weave. How you doing, Kai?
I'm doing great, Gil. It's best time of year. So excited it's March and enjoying every minute of college basketball right now.
Every minute. Kai comes to us courtesy of the progressive guest line. Pardon me. Two more auto bids yesterday, in case you missed it. And I know you didn't miss it, Kai, but anybody out there who missed it, James Madison Dukes win the Sun Belt. They win it by 20. They were the short shot to win the tournament at plus 120. 32-3. They head to the tournament, and had they lost, they probably wouldn't have made it. And then the Samford Bulldogs, who were the short shot and the number one seed in the Southern, they win the Southern Conference Tournament. So they are headed to the big dance as well. And today, well, now we start to get serious. ACC, A-10, Big 12, Conference USA, and the Metro Atlantic tip off those tournaments. Day basketball. Tomorrow's even bigger again. American Big East, Big 10, Big West, MEAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, SEC, SWAC, WAC. It's that time of year. By the way, there's other games going on today, including the America East semis, Big Sky semis, Southland semis, and then five more auto bids will be determined today. Five more conference tournament championships, including the Coastal, Horizon, Northeast, Summit, and West Coast Conference, obviously, between Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Let's start with today's games before we get to the conference tournaments. Anything in any of the five championships or any of the other semis that you like today?
Yeah, I kind of lean pretty much every single dog in the championship games today, but really like Wagner, plus 7.5 against Merrimack. I just think they're such a tough team rebounding wise and can really get into the teeth of that zone, bully Merrimack a bit. They beat them once this season. Hopefully Merrimack wins. I want to see them in the tournament, especially after last season when they won the whole the conference tournament and unfortunately got left out because of the transition rule.
That's right.
I do think Wagner can keep it pretty close here. And yeah, it's up to 8 now. So I like the Seahawks there, plus 8.
Okay. Anything in the Coastal Horizon or Summit or West Coast Conference Championships? Nothing there?
I do like Milwaukee, plus 5 against Oakland. Really great that we're going to get a new team out of the Horizon. Both these teams, it's been a long time since they've been in the dance. Milwaukee's playing great lately. Both games are really close during the season. And I just love how this team scraps. Bart Lundy's an awesome coach. They control the glass. I think that's Oakland's bit of their weakness, really, in the zone they tend to play. So I think Milwaukee can keep it close here. Hopefully they get out on shooters because Oakland has some snipers.
Milwaukee before this tournament? Before the Horizon Championship tournament began, 22-1 to win this tournament. So they are on the cusp. Just got to win today. Obviously, easier said than done. All right, let's talk about the tourneys that have not started yet. Again, mentioned that ACC, A-10, Big 12, Conference USA, and the Metro Atlantic begin today. Any value plays, any thoughts on any of these where you're making a bet?
Yeah, so the MAC, weird one here, a couple weird ones here. So I took some flyers on Central Michigan and Western Michigan. They're incredibly long shots, 24-1 and I think 60-1 for Western Michigan. But I just think this tournament could get kind of crazy. And both these teams have beaten top dogs in the conference already. I don't like Kent State out of the 8th seed. Toledo, they somehow lose every single season. Akron's been falling down the stretch. So I thought there might be a little chaos in that league. So really small flyer plays in the MAC for me to start us.
All right, MAC starts on Thursday, by the way, that tournament. Yeah. Would you say Western Michigan was, are you going to make a bet on Western Michigan?
Made a small little flyer bet. I think they're 60-1.
65-1 is what I saw at DraftKings last night.
Yeah.
All right, nothing in between now and then?
No, I don't do a ton of futures bets in the conference tournaments. Yeah, in the A-10, I think Dayton's going to win it, but obviously they're the short shot to win it in the A-10. I do like Duke to win in the Big 12, the ACC. I'll tell you what, Baylor probably has the best value in the Big 12. I think they're around 7-1 right now. I do like them. I think they can definitely win that conference tournament with KU sitting Hunter Dickinson. and with Houston sort of banged up right now.
All right, let's go to the big dance. Let's project forward a week. I've asked you different questions. One, I asked you who's got the most sort of volatility in outcomes, and you said Gonzaga. You stick by that as an answer for that question?
I do a bit. I liked your answer with Kentucky, and I think that's what most people would say. Yeah. But I do think Gonzaga has the highest of highs, and we've seen them have the lowest of lows. So I do think Gonzaga, Kentucky are right there. Alabama's a good team as well.
All right, I'll ask you what I asked of your buddy Jim Root yesterday, which is of the usual suspects at the top here. So we're talking the Houston, UConn, Arizona, Auburn, Marquette, Tennessee, Purdue, Creighton group. Throw in Duke and Carolina as well. Who do you trust the least? Give me the three that you trust the least.
North Carolina. No offense to the talent on their roster. I'm not a Hubert Davis believer. I know he's been there before. I think they're a bit lucky on that run. Weirdly, I don't trust Marquette very much, especially with the Tyler Kolek injury. You know, he's supposed to be back for the NCAA tournament, but I still think he's hobbled, and we've seen that team sort of bow out a few times. So that's number two for me. And then the third team, I don't think Iowa State makes a big run. I don't think have the offensive sustainability to get through the tournament. So I guess those three teams out of the top group there.
Yeah, I like how you threw Iowa State in, because when I watch them, I feel the same way. Yeah, this team's not doing anything. Apologies to all fans of Iowa State. Okay, let's talk about, I used to do this thing with Peter Keating, who used to work at ESPN. Now he's, I believe, at The Athletic, which was called Giant Killers. And he used to do this segment called Giant Killers. We used to have him on. And it was basically identifying the characteristics of mid-majors, you know, teams that get auto bids from smaller conferences that have the characteristics required to pull off an upset and maybe even two come Big Dance. And those really came down to a couple, you know, a few characteristics, a few staples. Great three-point shooting and pace. A team that played particularly fast or a team that played particularly slow, but generally it was the particularly fast, version of that. Is there a team or teams that fit the bill for you in terms of giant killer possibilities?
It's interesting. I would expect the pace to be slow. The teams that tend to be giant killers, but that surprised me a little bit.
Well, there was a couple, right? There was the grind where you minimize the possessions, but then either or.
Okay.
Yeah. If you were a good 3-point shooting, it was volume also. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, James Madison fits the bill in my opinion, and that's no secret. I'm sure there'll be a sexy 12-5 pick to pull an upset. Hopefully they play South Carolina. I'll take James Madison. They've beaten Michigan State, right? They can shoot the three. They play with great pace. Like you said, they've won 32 games. I love Drake. Drake's just a really good team. They might even be favored in the first round as an 11 seed, depending who they draw. Those two teams for sure. Charleston, maybe. Again, they're one of those pace type of teams as well. I don't think Samford is a giant killer, and they fit the pace bill. They even kind of fit the shooting bill, but I don't think they play up very well to competition.
Which team do you feel would be most susceptible to the region that this will get a little more nuanced, the region that they are cast in? In other words, if you keep them at home, you keep them comfortable, all things good. But if you shipped them away, you might have some trouble with it.
Tough one. So the top team, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, hard question. If you count Auburn as a top team, I'll say Auburn. They'll probably like a 4 seed, so maybe it doesn't count too much. If you want to do 1 seeds, I kind of like all these 1 seeds a lot. I guess I'll default to Tennessee, even though I really like the Vols. I'll default to there just because Rick Barnes, I'm going to make him prove it to me. Yeah. Arizona, as much as I want to hate to admit it, they're probably in that group too because they do rely on Caleb Love way too much at the end of games. When they're blowing teams out, it's all honky-dory. It's great. When they're getting beat, I think they kind of clinch up a bit, and it becomes a love show, and that's bad news. I could see that happening in the tournament.
Team that's going to get screwed on Selection Sunday and a team that's going to undeservedly get in.
I really hate to say it, but I think Indiana State is in danger of getting screwed.
Don't say that.
I want to see this team. I want to see them in the dance. Root for Florida Atlantic to win the American. Root for Dayton to win the A-10. I think it's the only way they can make it. I think people will be surprised to see Texas A&M make the dance.
Wow. All right. Team that doesn't make the big dance, that ends up in the NIT, but will be properly motivated, in your opinion, to actually want to win the NIT so we can trigger a bet on them?
Well, that could be Indiana State. I think they'd roll through it. They're an awesome, awesome team. Now, I think they'd be plenty motivated too. This type of team, I think, would love an NIT championship, this program. So they're one. You know, one of the Conference USA teams, to keep the theme from last season, how about Sam Houston or Louisiana Tech? I think either one of those teams could make a run. And then if somehow Grand Canyon loses the WAC, I'd probably go their way as well. They'd be a team on the list.
Indiana State, Grand Canyon, what was in between?
One of the Conference USA teams, either Sam Houston or Louisiana Tech.
All right, yeah. Last two, and this might be because I have futures plays on them. Give me the round of elimination, sight unseen, obviously. We don't have the brackets. Round of elimination for BYU.
I'll go second round.
Oh, so we're better than that. Alabama.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, okay. All right.
Yeah, just yeah.
Close it out, sure, with those two. I would have those reversed. How about that? I'll go BYU, Sweet 16, and Alabama second round. Kai, appreciate it as always. Enjoy this week, man. Enjoy it, obviously, beyond this week, but enjoy while we have it. Soak it all in, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You too.
The great Kai McKeon at 3MW_CBB for all of Three Man Weave's plays. How great is this? Daytime hoops.
Let's roll.
Wall to wall. Let's ride. Let's ride. As Russell Wilson used to say. We'll come back. More NFL talk and some most improved player talk in the NBA. It's all falling into Kelly's lap. Coming back. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter.
Oh, boy, lots of college basketball preview. We got Steve Mackinnon in there. We got Adam Burke typing up about, writing up about the free agency moves yesterday in the NFL, and a whole lot more.
Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. Visit Visa.com/newsletter to subscribe. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beat of the Book. Always appreciate the feedback, and I mean that. This is from Chris Hardman. Gil, why does the Tua contract have to be 50-plus? If he turns down 35 or 40 and someone else signs him to a monster, consider yourself lucky and move on. He does not fit into the criteria for winning a Super Bowl or even being able to carry the Fins to wins without Tyreek. Well, that's what we're talking about, Chris, that they're forced, NFL teams are forced, to make a decision on this stuff. And I'm with you that in some of these cases, that was the first one when the Rams had Jared Goff. I was on this show advocating they should just move on. Start, it would be this whole new model where you've got all your other players intact. Just start again with the rookie quarterback. They went a different way. They just traded for everybody and won a Super Bowl that way, having scuttled Jared Goff with a trade. So they did sign him initially, but I would have just done it at the signing portion of that calculus. LFC title records. You forgot to mention that Cousins led the Vikings to the greatest NFL comeback of all time. Yes, he did. As a Minnesota fan, we always thought we had a chance to win with him, even if we were down 33-0. Yeah, I want to point this out because Will Hill texted me. He goes, I wouldn't call him beloved. I'd call him divisive. And my response to Will was, I actually said both of those things. He is, again, and what a needle he threaded in all of these years. He managed to win nothing. One playoff game, right? Managed to win nothing. Make tons of money. Only Aaron Rodgers made more. Caused a right down the middle debate of two fan bases, both in Washington and Minnesota. Is this our guy? Is this not our guy? And yet, in the end, with all of that, it's still a sort of a beloved guy. Like, no one hates the man. Right? Like, he's just a...
Oh, yeah.
No one has a bad word to say about Kirk Cousins. And generally, people respect what he did when he was there in Washington, from being a fourth-round draft pick, overcoming the whole RG3 years, to making a career for himself in Minnesota, where we're just talking about, you know, greatest comeback, won one play. I mean, again, there's no promised land in any of this, and yet he's managed to thread all of that. I can't think of, there's not another player you can say that about ever. They've won nothing. They've made tons of money, and they're beloved while causing massive debate.
trying to think, but yeah.
He is what he is.
It's what he is.
It's, I mean,
he's...
You couldn't do that if you tried.
Right. And from a betting standpoint, he's one of those guys that, now we've had plenty of quarterbacks like this before. You might be a little nervous putting some money down on the guy for a game, but you're also terrified whenever you go to bet against him.
Bro, if we had Wishnev on today, he'd be losing. He hates Kirk Cousins, right? Thinks he's the worst because he believes that in every clutch moment he fails. Yeah. And so this contract that he got, like Wishnev would go on for 5 minutes about it. Like, how could they do this? But again, the Falcons.
Kirk Cousins, Tony Romo, like so many of these names of like you were so nervous, yeah. Like when you had a bet on him, you hated to bet against him too.
Yeah. With so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. B21. Let's talk NBA Most Improved Player. Kelly, I was thinking about you the other day because you have Tyrese Maxey in this, right?
I do.
And then in a span of what seemed like 30 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much was.
And I'm like, what kind of voodoo are you playing with here? Jalen Williams, I guess this was on Sunday, had to leave the game against the Pacers early, described as an ankle injury. He left twice, I believe, didn't he?
No, I think it was only the one time when he came down. He came down on the camera guy or whatever behind the basket.
Well, it says he'd go back to the locker room twice after two separate falls on Sunday against the Grizzlies, pardon me. And then promptly ruled out for the rest of the game with the ankle injury. And then...
And that one's still a little up in the air. We don't really know.
He's questionable today.
Could be a couple games. Yeah. I don't know. It could be nothing. It could be a little while. We don't really know.
And then the Rockets, Alperen Sengun, ankle sprain, bruised knee, had to be wheeled off the court against the Kings.
That was real bad.
Post-game x-rays, MRI, that revealed his injuries would not require surgery, but still, for the 21-year-old... had to be wheeled off. And so I'm like, okay, Kelly Bidlin putting the voodoo on all the other players in here. So you got Tyrese.
Yeah.
It's not like Jalen's going to be out for a while. He's still in the mix.
So, well,
obviously, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, it gets dicey. It gets dicey with Jalen Williams. Because, I mean, the other part of it, you know, like I've got Shea money too. Jalen Williams being out is not good for for an SGA MVP bet just because of the team success part.
Gotcha.
Of it. So, but that one's so up in the air. I'd be a little surprised if Jalen Williams played tonight. I think he's going to miss probably a couple games with that ankle, but I hope he's back sooner than later. Sengun, on the other hand, lucky he escaped anything major there.
Looked terrible.
I also think I would be shocked at this point where the Rockets are at in their season if they'd really be pushing to get him back sometime very soon. So, you think when you're talking most improved now, okay, the list gets a little shorter, and it is Maxey still at the top, and then you've got the Kobe White thing just hanging around there still that we don't really know what to do with, and Jonathan Kuminga. So, before Gil, like I had this Maxey ticket, and I haven't gotten involved with anybody else all season just because the odds have been shifting around, been shifting around all these different players and kind of the guys that have been in the mix have been all over the place. And we're going to talk about this like a week ago, but when all those guys you could make cases for Jalen Williams, for Kuminga, for Sengun, all these guys, I kept going back to, well, there's not a bet to make right now. Like I've got 20-1, I think, on Maxey. It's not a bet to make because I think some of these guys are going to cancel each other out. You know, each guy is going to get a couple votes here and there, and Maxey's going to get the overwhelming number of votes to win it. So I wasn't really prepared to do anything as far as buying off or hedging on the ticket. I think Kobe White, I have to now. Now that we're down to this.
I was going
to
say, because I feel like, and again, this is just feel, but if you're just sort of reading the tea leaves, doesn't it feel like they want to give it to him?
Yes, a little bit. And the case for Kobe White, he is the Lauri Markkanen case from last season. It is the case of, okay, this guy had a couple good years, couple years ago, dipped last year, and now he's back to having a great season. So I understand why he's there. Now, of course, where I was typing a bunch of notes on this and thinking about this moved from like 240 yesterday all the way down to plus 190. So I guess I better get involved if I'm going to get involved. I better get involved here soon. Maxey back, though, tonight, too. He had that concussion, missed a couple games, will be back against the Knicks. So, look, it narrows it down, but I think I will make a little bit of a stand here and buy off a little bit with Kobe White.
how, I mean, again, we talk about this through baseball season, we talk about it through football season. What is the likelihood that we are completely misunderstanding the voters on this? Like, what is the likelihood that they're actually thinking Jalen Williams or Kuminga?
I don't think so. Two things going against Jalen Williams. Obviously, the injury he's dealing with right now, and he's a second-year player. Kuminga, I think, is going to, his case is going to continue to get hurt. See, he's another one I think it's kind of attached to team success. Steph Curry's out, and this Warriors team is struggling a bit. I don't know if that helps or hurts Kuminga. I think if anything, if there's already kind of the voters with something in mind, I think it's Maxey. I think it's Maxey was penciled in 3 months ago and nothing's changed.
Maxey going from 20.3 points per game to 26 points per game. Kobe White going from 9.7 to 19.7, also raising his assist from 2.8 to 5.3. And then Kuminga from 9.9 to 15.9 points per game, and the advanced stats following suit as well. What about for sixth man? Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, this one's crazy right now. This one, so I made a bet, what, a few weeks ago on Norm Powell. I'd be looking at it again. This race is going to be tight to the end. There are five guys that are live for this, but what I'll keep bringing up, and his number has come down. So I think it makes a little bit more sense. But Malik Monk being this big of a favorite, I still don't understand, Gil. Minus 215 compared to where some of these other guys are at, I really don't get. You're talking about he is the leading scorer out of these listed candidates, but okay, 15.7 points per game, 5.3 assists, 37% from three. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Naz Reid is the one I'd watch out for, and his odds have gotten extremely short here over the past week since Cat went out. He's the guy that's going to see a lot more playing time and will likely still come off the bench. Remember, we had the problem with this award last year. If Naz Reid starts starting a bunch of games, I don't know if he's going to be rewarded for those extra stats that he's going to rack up. 12.8 points per game, 5 rebounds a game for him. He is 41% from three, really shooting the ball well. Bobby Portis has shot up there too. I don't think he's really live in this. I don't really understand why he's been the guy. I still like Norman Powell. If I was betting it today, I would take the longer shot on Norman Powell. It's 14 points per game, 43% from three. One of the best three-point shooters in the league right now. Playing on a team where he always closes out, might not be a starter for the team, but closes out the lineup end of games for the Clippers. They've been one of the best teams in the West. That's still where I'd be going to make a bet. Norm Powell.
I could do a whole diatribe on the team mattering and not mattering from one award to the next, but I'll spare you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for these, I don't think it matters as much.
Champions League with Paul Carr on the other side. Got to talk about this game for this past week as well. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Not a registered VSiN.com user yet? What are you waiting for? Create a free account today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do through the NCAA Championship Week. That's this week. Talking about championship tournaments leading up to Selection Sunday. Sign up today at VSiN.com/champweek and get instant VSiN Pro access, including our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access, plus our all-new NCAA Tournament Betting Primer. Don't miss out on this VSiN Pro free preview to help you bet the tournament smarter. Create a free account now at VSiN.com/champweek. And get full VSiN Pro access from now through March 17th. That's VSIN.com/champweek. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, and it's Stevie Wonder. Last segment with little Isn't She Lovely.
That was a long solo. I almost said something about
it. Hey, when he gets to the harmonica, it can last a while.
So you know how Drew said there wasn't really a move that really yesterday that moved the needle for him.
Correct.
I got one for you. It just came down.
Oh, boy.
Watch out. Jameis Winston to the Cleveland Browns, baby.
Oh, get out of my way.
Get out of the way, Joe Flacco. We got a real comeback story coming at you.
Jameis to Cleveland.
That's right.
We've reached the, oh, that's interesting, portion of the free agent market. that's all it took.
Whatever. When Jameis is starting in week six and Deshaun Watson is on the bench, talk to me then.
Let's go, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, there was a big Liverpool Man City game here that happened last time Paul Carr was on. We talked about it. It ends up in a 1-1 draw in the Premier League. And we start there with Paul Carr from the True Media Networks and, of course, the Expected Value podcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good. It was a great game. I'm going to miss these teams playing each other. When Jurgen Klopp retires after the season and Pep Guardiola, I don't know if he's leaving after this season, but at some point he just won't be around anymore. Like, these two have played the best games. They go at each other. It's just exactly what you want to see when you have two heavyweights, two of the best clubs in the world taking each other on. They're not cagey. They just do what they do. So it was a fun game.
Did that result, by the way, in any way sway your thinking on the ultimate title of the Premier League?
I mean, Man City's plus money, I think, for the first time all season now, plus 110, plus 120 most places. I guess I'll just say, so in 2 weeks, City hosts Arsenal. Arsenal's around plus 260 now. If you like either of those teams, I mean, it's the old, you want to play it before that game, because City's going to be juicy again, and Arsenal might be the favorite if they go into Etihad and win that game. So that's going to be a big swing game in a couple weeks for the title.
Arsenal 64 points, Liverpool 64 points, Man City 63. 10 games left for each. Should be fun. Good finish.
It's going to be great.
All right, you, when you're not here doing this show, and when you're not actually being father to your child in Topeka, Kansas, doing True Media Network stuff or being expected value podcast host, you actually show up on the Ringer Gambling Podcast every once in a while. And that is the case this week as well, right?
Yeah, we had some fun this week with all the best picture nominees. And I mentioned how City Liverpool bring out the best in each other. So I started comparing in my head to the kind of Champions League clubs or top clubs to best picture nominees. And I think City and Liverpool are kind of like the Barbenheimer phenomenon. Like, they're both really good, but you put them together and it just turns into these great games, and you keep pushing each other. And so I've got more comparisons for that if you want the not Cliff Notes version.
Very
on
nice.
The pod. But that was my favorite one. Like, this Barbenheimer, you know, they brought the best out in each other. Both films really good. And that's what City and Liverpool have done for the last several years.
I got a great, I don't know if I should even say this out loud, but I've already started, so I'm going to say it. Joe Pita, when he was working over at ESPN Chalk back in the day, he did something similar with baseball teams, but he compared them, or at least he somehow connected them to songs from Hamilton, because he was a huge Hamilton fan, because his daughters were big Hamilton fans. And he was so proud of this piece. It was one of his greatest works. And the editors rejected it. They said it was too nuanced. Get this out of here. Can you believe that?
No. I mean, one thing I used to do back in my ESPN days is compare Champions League teams to NCAA tournament teams, because this is the time of year to do it, with the knockout round in Champions League and NCAA tournament. And that was more for perspective, because, you know, maybe your average sports center producer will say may not know, you know, what's the difference between Chelsea and Madrid and Inter and all these teams. But if you can compare them to Gonzaga or Kansas or Kentucky, it's a real shorthand for figuring out which ones are the blue bloods, which ones are the interlopers, et cetera.
Yeah. I think if I gave Joe truth serum, he'd be like, oh yeah, the relationship was never the same after that.
It's all downhill after that.
All right. Speaking of the Champions League, so that's the Ringer Gambling Podcast with Paul Carr this week. All right. So Champions League bets. We got games today. We got games tomorrow. Let's start with today. Where are you going?
All right. Today, now I got to make sure I get the schedule right on this one, but I think it's Arsenal and Porto today. I'm going with Arsenal win to nil. So this is the second leg. Arsenal's down 1-0 after the first leg because they inexplicably kind of didn't go for it in the first leg when they're the much better team. Talked several times this year, Arsenal has the best defense in the Premier League, maybe in Europe. They've only given up 3 goals in their last 8 games, and that's really not running hot that much. They've given up 4 goals on a little over 3 expected goals. So it's not like they're running super hot defensively. They just use the ball to control the pace of the game, not give up a lot of good opportunities. So I think that's what they're going to do against Porto. They have to win this game to advance. It's the Arsenal way this season to win this one, 2-0, 3-0 type of game. Even 1-0 just gets to extra time, which would be enough to win this bet. But Arsenal win to nil, minus 115. Or some places you parlay that. An Arsenal win, both teams to score, no. But it should come to around minus 115
either
way.
What was the score of the first game between these two again?
Porto 1-0. Got a late goal
Porto 1-0.
To kind of pull off the home upset.
Okay. Porto, by the way, Kelly, you know what country they're from? Any guesses?
Portugal.
Yes. This man knows his international soccer. Okay, also today, Barcelona and Napoli, or as the Castellanos call it, Barcelona against Napoli.
Did I tell you about the time I had an internship in Spain? No, that's not why I say it that way.
Oh, okay.
Barcelona and Napoli, under 2.5, plus 110. So this first game was very dull. It ended up 1-1, but that was really generous for both sides. I think we're going to see more of the same. It's always a little scary betting against goals with Barcelona at home, especially. but I think each team wants to get a 1-0 game out of this. Barcelona has a ton of injuries. Their midfield is kind of a mess. They're moving guys from the back, from the front, trying to fill the midfield void. Robert Lewandowski he's good, but he's 35. He's not as good as he has been up top for Barcelona. So, and Napoli's just kind of been a mess all season. They've had some good games lately, but playing not so good teams for the most part. So it's a little, this is one of those makes you throw up in your mouth a little bit kind of things where you're going against some, you know, good names, good forwards, obviously just Barcelona in general. But I think both teams are going to play this conservatively and try to scratch out a 1-0 win in this game. So I like under 2.5 getting plus money, plus 110.
Barcelona, Napoli under 2.5 goals. The rare under from Paul Carr on this one. I knew a girl, Kelly, her name was Maricela. She was from Barcelona. And every time she would speak in normal English, and she'd be like, yeah, and she'd introduce herself. She'd be like, Maricela from Barcelona. And you'd be like, okay, enough. Tomorrow, what do you got here? Inter Milan and Atletico Madrid.
I'm riding this Inter train. They were plus 1800 to win the title before this round began, and now they're around plus 950-ish different places. And they won the first leg 1-0. Could have been worse. Atletico was really kind of lucky to only lose that one by a goal. I like Inter here just to win this one outright, plus 155. So that's a win in 90 minutes. The only downside is, you know, a draw is fine with Inter to go through. So you are going against that, which is why you get a decent price. But they've won all 13 games this year. Marcus Thuram, one of the young forwards, is back in the lineup. Lautaro Martinez, their best forward and leading scorer, didn't play over the weekend in a good way. They were just resting him for this game. And Atletico is scuffling. They lost 2-0 to 18th place Cadiz, or maybe Cadiz, which hadn't led a league game in 3 months. And Antoine Griezmann, one of their best attackers, hasn't played since the first leg. He's questionable with an ankle injury. Even if he plays, how effective will he be? So this is just take the much better team here. Inter win plus 155.
All right, let's review. Today, Arsenal win to nil versus Porto, and then Barcelona, Napoli under 2.5 goals plus money. Shop around for the best price. And then tomorrow on the Inter train, Inter Milan plus 155 at Atletico Madrid for Paul Carr. Let me just ask you before you go, obviously for next year's Champions League, you're talking top four teams of the Premier League, Aston Villa and Tottenham, really in a duel for that fourth position beyond Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City. Aston Villa with a 2-point lead, but Tottenham's played one fewer game, so really it's not really a 2-point lead, if you will. Are these markets widely available? Are they available anywhere to make the Champions League?
Yeah, you can usually get top four spots. Okay. And Tottenham had a big 4-0 win over Villa over the weekend, which kind of turned that one on its head a little bit. I really liked Villa. You could get like minus 110 before that match on them, but it was not a 4-0 route type of game. There's a red card. Tottenham scored a couple late goals, etc. But Tottenham still played better and deserved to win. So, I mean, Tottenham's in the driver's seat. I still kind of over the course of the season lean toward Villa. You can get plus money on them now. But it's that game really just kind of upended everything a lot of people thought they knew about the top four race heading down the stretch.
All right, Paul. Stay hot, man. I know you're on a run here. We love it.
Yeah.
Good luck today and tomorrow.
Gil,
yes.
Do you have $50 million I can pay Tua? Keep him around.
Do you want to? You're a Dolphins fan. Are you keeping him?
I don't even know.
I don't even know. That's the problem
know,
with this.
To be honest.
That's...
I don't for that price, but that's just kind of where we are.
This is the conundrum. This is the NFL conundrum. And it sparks debate, and there's no... Well, we find out the answer eventually, but at the moment, there is no right answer. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. See?
Thank you.
A conflicted Dolphins fan right there. We'll come back. My tennis pick of the day, Kelly's basketball. That's next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can bet just $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada, Barcana, the barrage here in the D, downtown Las Vegas. In case you missed it this morning, by the way, Aaron Jones, spite signing with the Minnesota Vikings, 1 year, $7 million. So Aaron Jones goes to the Vikings. And I see your Jameis Winston to the Browns, and I raise you Marcus Mariota to the Commodores.
You don't even know what to call him anymore.
I don't even know. Can't stand that name.
Okay. Well, that's a it's a great
is that
backup.
Does that mean Sam Howell is no longer going to be on the? I have no idea. They got the number two pick in the draft. They're picking a quarterback, and now they got Marcus Mariota.
That is a weird one.
It's a very strange one. And Joe Mixon has found a home. Joe Mixon headed to the Houston Texans. I like this one for the Texans. It's actually a trade. The Bengals are trading Joe Mixon to the Texans per Ian Rapoport, as Cincinnati was able to find a trade partner before cutting him. Houston has been in the running back market and get Mixon via trade. So he is on his way to Houston. And if you think about that Texans offense, an offense obviously led by C.J. Stroud, great receivers, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Noah Brown, Mechie on that team as well. Jason Weingarten still believes he should be the comeback player of the year. Has that award been given out yet? No, not yet.
It has. Yes, Jameis Winston just stole it from Joe Flacco.
The running backs, I guess Damian Pierce was their number one back this past year.
Yeah.
Had a good year. But Mixon, obviously an upgrade, so that's huge.
Yeah, Pierce was he was a bit down this year after that big rookie year. Right, wasn't it 2 years ago he had that rookie season that was really good when, you know, the team was trash?
Where is Derrick Henry going to end up? Baltimore?
I'm wondering. I think Baltimore, Dallas are the two big ones fighting.
Feels Baltimore-ish to me.
Yeah, Gus Edwards gone now, too. I mean, both of those teams, Dallas and Baltimore, I would think are kind of fighting over his services right now.
And then, of course, as soon as Derrick Henry signs, there's going to be the camp that says, oh, my God, look, they got Derrick Henry. That's awesome. And then there's going to be the camp that sort of echoes what I said about Austin Eckler earlier, which is, yeah, but is it the downside?
Oh, sure. I think you're hoping you get 1 year out of those type of guys.
Yeah.
Like, being realistic with running backs and age-wise where we're at with some of those, I think you're hoping you get one really good year of what they were and have been, and then you got to expect it's a bit of a decline after that.
You know how the Dolphins go for team speed? Like they have like five of the fastest or four of the fastest guys in the history of the NFL. The Skins with Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler are doing whatever the opposite of that is called.
Really 1992 running up the gut.
Really good at squats and bench presses, but like speed really not is our thing.
I can't believe you're not a little bit more excited about the Eckler.
I kind of is.
He scored a ton of touchdowns.
I like him as a person too. Like, he's a great dude. I love his career. Yeah. But as soon as I had the nerve to be excited about it, everyone's like, he's done. So I'm like, yeah, did I miss something? I guess he is.
I'm still interested by the Mariota one.
Yeah, that's curious.
I think either one or two, like, did a trade market somehow develop here for Sam Howell?
No, I don't know that I mean, Jacoby Brissett is going to the Patriots.
Yeah.
So you only had Howell rostered at that point, right?
Yeah, so so that's the other way this goes, right? You're going to draft a quarterback, then you got the three, and there's a very good chance, even though we're talking about Marcus Mariota being signed today, he's being cut at some point during the season.
Yeah, and if your goal is to have a veteran tutor of that young quarterback, Sam Howell doesn't fit that bill.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Who knows how it will shake out?
I don't know. I'm never really a believer in the veteran tutor who never did anything.
Even as it coming out of my mouth, I was like, it doesn't feel right. Whatever I just said.
People say that stuff all the time, and I don't know that I'm right. It's just like, yeah, I'd kind of like someone who had a little bit more success in the NFL to be tutoring my young quarterback.
Yeah. So anyway, these just happen every 5 minutes. We're hearing of another thing. It was definitely a little bit of a tear down from yesterday. Although the Joe Mixon, does Joe Mixon to the Texans move your needle?
No. I think we're talking about another running back.
In a glut of an AFC South where the Jaguars and the Colts exist, that doesn't incrementally move you on the Texans a little bit? Who obviously, you know, conquered it last year.
I mean, I already think they're the team to beat. I just don't know. So Joe Mixon, I think, is... I mean, now we have to rank all these. Let's rank all of the pretty good, slightly aging running backs, right? I think some of these other guys that we've discussed, I'd rather have before Joe Mixon. I mean, as soon as Aaron Jones got released yesterday,
yeah,
I thought Texans. Like, you go get
I thought Texans for a lot of these guys.
Me too. Yeah. And I'm sure
the Texans, who finished 10-7 in the AFC South last year, with both the Colts and the Jags finishing 9-7, a game behind. Excuse me, 9-8, a game behind.
I guess I'm just a little surprised. I mean, going back to Derrick Henry, I guess I'm a little surprised they pulled the trigger on this before, unless they know exactly what's happening with Derrick Henry.
Yeah. I mean, again, the running backs. Of all of these guys, so this is, and we had this discussion last week, right? Like, where there's just a glut of them. Barkley, Jacobs, Henry, Mixon, Jones, one after the other. Swift trying to play for every team in the NFC before he's 30 years old. is there one of these guys that you feel is a cut above? Like, are you convinced Saquon's a cut above despite all the injuries?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
I do too.
I think that is a. The only reason that's not a bigger deal is because of, and maybe Drew said this earlier too, but it's just because of how much help the defense needs for Philly, right? Where you're kind of like, why are you throwing money at running backs when you need some help on the defensive side of the ball? But Saquon Barkley, like, that offense is going to be scary next season.
Don't get me started.
I mean, you're kind of putting it. It's similar to what the Celtics got going right now. I keep going back when I talk about the Celtics. They got everything. They just need their stars to show up and play like stars. If Jalen Hurts, it's all on you now, buddy. Like, this is your season. You've got everything around you, offensive weapon-wise, to succeed sure there in does. Philly. So if you want to put all the haters to rest after this past season, like, go do it right now.
All right, tennis play of the day. Yesterday, Dion Parry hits for us as a plus 130 dog. She wins it in straight sets. Nicely done.
Way to go, Diane.
but Naomi Osaka loses, so we will not hit that quarter.
Oh.
Yeah, she loses. Elise Mertens beat her in straight. She had the first set on her racket, and she choked it. She gacked it away.
I didn't think about that one. I was typing these up.
Yeah. So still got Ika going, by the way. But imagine if you went to Indian Wells this year. And it's like Rafa doesn't end up playing. Djokovic is gone in a blink. Rybakina pulled out. Like, I was regretful that I didn't go now. I'm like, thank God I didn't go. Even though the GOAT's still there, Iga.
A lot more tee times being set for golf.
Oh, my God.
And what, spas? What else do you do around Indian Wells?
Oh.
Eat, golf, spas.
Eat, spas, that kind of thing.
That kind of thing.
Yeah. Go to tennis matches. Play today. Tried to keep it going in tennis, which again on match play has been an 18 plus unit season thus far in tennis. Just been awesome. Today, Alex de Minaur is the play. I haven't got him a few cents worse than you can get him at right now. I got minus 115 against Sasha Zverev. Minus 112 is the consensus right now on Alex de Minaur. You can even probably get a few pennies better than that in some spots. Taking the Aussie against Sasha Zverev. Zverev, who has been in the top five of the world for most of the recent history until he got hurt at the French a couple years ago. Still one of the great players in tennis, but de Minaur is the guy that has really moved up and cracked the elite group of men's tennis players here in the last 6 months. And his numbers on hard courts just better than Zverev. Should be a great match, but I'm taking de Minaur at minus 115 again, based on the raw data, sir. You have any NBA plays?
I do have one small one tonight on the Bucks. Just Jay Monahan talking at the Players' Championship right now. Just looking to see if there is, doesn't sound like anything happening with the PIF soon on the new league. From Rex Hoggard, negotiations with Saudi Arabia's PIF are, quote, accelerating, and the tour is, quote, engaged, and, quote, making progress.
Word salad
we've been hearing for 6+ months now. But I bet Milwaukee's small tonight. They've got this long road trip going. I'm a little more concerned, so smaller bet for me tonight. They're in Sacramento taking on the Kings. Kings team, they've been up and down, though, recently. 5-4, minus 1.5 net rating over those last 9 games. Top 10 offense, but you're talking about one of the worst defenses in the league right now. I think Milwaukee's going to be able to score pretty easily on them. I like the over in that game, too. I might actually end up small on that as well. Just that defense has been so bad for Sacramento, and Milwaukee's still putting it together on that side of the ball.
Davidson 7, Fordham 5, a 10 first round has started. Wall-to-wall basketball begins.
Let's go.
Arch, so great. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.